B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So, Bill, going back to a venue with some great memories for the Patriots, I'm sure you probably haven't put much thought in it, but when you go back to a place where, you know, some great things have happened for the team, do you allow yourself any moments of, you know, reflection as you're just sort of stepping into the building on that night?
Oh, yeah. You're right, Mike. I haven't really thought about it a lot. I'll try to do a better job on the replay than I did the last time, but, it's a great place to play. It's a great stadium. I mean, it's big and really the biggest thing we need to focus on is just obviously crowd noise and cadence and so forth and communication, but, you know, really just our preparation for the Falcons and, what we'll need to do tomorrow night. But, maybe once we get in there, we'll take a closer look.
All right, Bill Belichick on his thoughts heading into Thursday night football. That was yesterday with Mike Reese. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati here from our Tom Ford Tire Studios in Dorchester. We come to you on 98.5 on the FM dial in the Boston metro area. The simulcast beams across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston, presenting sponsor DraftKings on both sides there. Catch us anytime on the app or online, 98.5thesportshub.com. The real reason I play that and the rich part of that comment that I just like is that Bill Belichick is going back and sticking his ass in Mike Reese's face for Mike Reese second-guessing him after that Chargers game where Bill threw a bad challenge flag, and Mike Reese asked him about it, and that's what Bill was going back to 3 weeks before on a question that had nothing to do with it. It was just Bill Belichick's chance. He has Mike Reese on the line. The Pats have won 4 straight. He's feeling good. They're feeling good. And that's a way for Bill to go, I'll try and get the challenge right this time, Mike. How do you feel about that? Suck on it. Bleh. Oh, my God. So that's where we're at. And my lead thought today on the Patriots, and we'll get to some other stuff today. We'll get to some Celtics and some Red Sox. But I think those of us in this room can agree at, you know, the Patriots annoyance meter with the fans and everything.
Oh, it's pinned to the right now.
It's pinned. In the red.
It went 0-60.
Oh, big time.
I mean, bang. Overnight, you all have turned into a bunch of a-holes. And it didn't take long. And boy, again, don't bother calling me before the game. Just wait till you see the result and then call up and be a bitch. But either way, okay, that's where we are. Wait till you see what happens tonight. Wait till you see what happens tonight. Do you understand what I think is the treatment that Bill Belichick is going to get tonight? And I think this is going to be a old school Bill Belichick ball washing session.
Deserves an R rating.
Might be X.
I mean, Murray, you've mentioned this before. You think, I mean, there's been so much national love thrown Bill's way and the Patriots' way.
Yeah, I think the term I used was a coordinated effort. It's felt like a coordinated effort over this whole week, ever since that Browns blowout. It's been like, oh, look at this coaching job. I mean, you had people refer to this as his greatest coaching job ever.
So I think some of it is coordinated for sure. Wait till you see what happens tonight. National TV, only game in town, the full Fox Sports treatment, both barrels. And God forbid if the game gets out of hand in the second half.
And it might.
And they have to fill. And now you can't really talk about the game. And this is something I talked about this with the Brady game, about what was going to happen in the second half of that Brady game if Brady was all over the Patriots and it was a 30-point game and they couldn't really cover the game anymore. That's when you would get all the stuff about Brady and Belichick and how bad it would look for Bill. Never came to that because the Patriots took it to the wire. Thank God for them. But I think the same thing might apply tonight in terms of
the opposite.
If the game's out of hand, you can't cover the game. If the game's out of hand, it becomes close-ups of Bill and the story, and it becomes close-ups of Mac Jones and the story that has just taken root like a fungus across the nation, the national broadcasters and the national commentary of this team. and maybe it's coordinated, Murray, in some cases, is Bill's back. Look at Bill, 2001. Mac Jones is Tom Brady. Bill's got it all the way back, and here we go. Watch out. Here are the Patriots, and I think this is what you're going to get tonight. And, well,
from a media standpoint, I can
understand. Get your barf bag.
From a media standpoint, though, I understand it because he took an absolute beating, and deservedly so, last year, and especially as the year went along, especially into the playoffs, and Brady capping it all off with a Super Bowl championship with his new team 1 year in. So this is just the yang of it. That was the yang. This is the yang.
Okay, did he really get the yang? I mean, he got the yang here. Places like this. We've been hammering Bill for a calendar year, year and a half. Did the Fox Sports crew or CBS ever really give it to Bill?
No. The only thing I can think of is that column that we read from Dallas earlier this year, which said he was turning into Tom Landry.
Sure, other local. Yeah.
No. Yeah, I'm just trying to, I'm trying to think of an occasion during a broadcast where they said, or somebody somewhere said, well, this thing is slipping. And the only, Rex Ryan, now that I think of it, Rex Ryan was trumpeting Brady pretty good last year, right? So he was sitting there saying, Bell doesn't have Brady anymore. It was Brady. It was the quarterback. So that is sort of the same thing. I mean, even if it's more pro-Brady than it is anti-Bill. So there was a little bit of that, but not a lot.
Okay, yeah, but even if it was as simple as you don't have to worry about the Patriots being a playoff threat this year, by midseason or any of that, saying like the Patriots aren't a threat, the Patriots are done. Like that in of itself, I think, is a shot at Bill.
Okay, so there's that. I mean, that's just I don't know what my question is for you or any of that, but just get ready for it. I guess that's a parental warning. This is going to be a PG-13 softcore porn, what they're going to do with Bill tonight.
Well, Mike, lay it out. Just again, it's we know where we are right now. It's 2:00. At 11:00, they could be 7-4. They could have won the game 35-13. They will have won 5 in a row, and they'll be on the Buffalo Bills for the division.
I mean, they certainly deserve some good pub.
Absolutely.
Like I'm not saying they don't. It's just, it's going to get thick.
It will be. It'll be. Thick is another word. Yeah, thick's a good word.
All right, so, which coincides with a little bit of news that came out yesterday. We touched on it briefly, but I'll just explore it more here. Might as well, because it's going to be Bill's night, I think. A published report of the highest paid coaches in pro sports came out. He was listed at number one at $18
million. Mm-hmm.
Okay, immediately people followed up, Mike Florio most prominently, that it's north of 20, given all the other ancillary sources of income that you get, and that figure was just low. So 20 plus, call it. Bill Belichick, highest played coach in pro sports. Does he deserve to be?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he worth 20 plus million?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say right now, yeah. I mean, you're asking me today. We do a daily show, right? Given the way this thing has turned, yeah, he's worth it.
So
he is. If you had asked me 6 months ago, I'd have said, close. I don't know. Right now, I'm leaning no.
See, I say no, and I agree with Holly about this last night. I say no because your worth is determined by what the market will bear, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you determine your worth, right? No one's worth $20 million to play a freaking game.
Like, of course.
I'm not talking about that Bill deserves to make more than teachers and, firefighters. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about, could the market... So the way you judge that is, if Bill Belichick became a free agent, would he get the same job somewhere else that he has right here?
No.
I don't think he would.
No, because he's 70.
So exactly my point, 69, 70. And also, it's not just like you're paying him $25 million or whatever that number is, $22 million to $20 to $25 million, and airlifting him in just to coach a championship-ready team. To hire Bill, you've got to fire like half your building. Bill's going to want control over everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be like here where he was slowly able through attrition to blow every, when he first started, Andy Wozenchuk was still running the cap and there were still checks and balances in that building. And slowly over time, Wozenchuk was gone. This guy was gone. That guy was gone. And, slowly Bill took over the whole building and he runs the whole building now. But is Bill going to, so if you're an owner, you've got to pay him, call it $22 million in real dollars. That's not cap dollars. That's not a player contract that you can renegotiate or get out of or is non-guaranteed. That's guaranteed. You've got to blow up pretty much your whole building. You've got to turn your whole operation over to him. And you're only going to get him for like 3 or 4 years, right?
Yeah, but if you're a loser franchise, you're immediately relevant. Like, I remember this, I compare it to the Patriots when they got Parcells. Loser franchise, year in, year out, nothing was ever going to happen. They got Parcells, I remember, like, holy crap, they're actually going to do something. This is for real now.
Yeah, how
old was
Parcells?
For the first time ever.
How old was Parcells?
I think the age is almost irrelevant now. So, like, he is a spry 69. You're going to get five more good years out of the guy. If he goes to Jacksonville, Shad Khan, that owner down there, is going to give him that kind of money and say, like, yes, have full autonomy.
So
whatever
look,
you want.
I get what you're saying in terms of...
I'm not sure they would.
Nobody else out there is going to give it to him. I look at it a different way, though, and I feel this way about when... I feel this way about it often when you have one of your own guys come up for free agency who's a player. Does it work for you? Does it work for you? Is it worth it for the Patriots to pay him what he's paying him now? And let me finish the thought. In other words, let's just say hypothetically, Bill goes in and says, I want $20 million or I'm retiring. Is it worth it for the Patriots to give it to him?
So that's a different dynamic. And I think, you know, yes. Sure.
So, and it is a different dynamic.
No, I
completely allow for that. But I look at it from the standpoint of, is he worth it to the Patriots?
And again, I'm talking about his current condition. If for example, like Bill said, yeah, just pay me $10 million. I'll come in and coach your team for a couple of years and we'll try and win a Super Bowl. And you can keep all the people around you and keep all the people in the building. And all it's going to take, and I'm going to come in and take over the team on the field and give me $10 million, he'd have a dozen job offers.
Yeah, right.
Right? I mean, that's not... It's everything that comes with them. And, oh, by the way, I think I'll point out at this juncture as well, too, he's an a-hole.
Yeah, that is
so now beautiful. You have to fork over 25 million real dollars.
Right.
Guaranteed. You can't restructure. You can't cut like you would a player. You can't defer. You can't do any of this. You're going to have to fire your GM, your team president, your cap guy, your training staff, your scouting staff. You have to hire a whole new group of people that Bill dictates. You have to put up with his kids, his blah, blah, blah. And when you pass him in the hallway after you've done all this for him, he's going to grunt at you and not even pretend you're there. How many? I don't know how many owners are willing to do that.
No,
I think
no.
At least a few guys. I really do. Because if you're one of these loser franchises, you want to be immediately relevant. You hire the greatest coach of all time and say, here's the keys. Do whatever the hell you want.
I think it's almost worth it more if you're the opposite, Murray. If you're one of these teams that's on a cusp of a championship, I can't get over the hump. So, again, a Dallas. I'd even give you Green Bay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got Rodgers at the end. Or you
oh,
got
I'd love him.
Like, something like that.
Bring
like
me one, the a-hole.
Right. That gives says, you know, we can win two titles in the next 3 years. Or we can win three in the next five if you hire me now.
Someone who can just come in and tell Aaron to snap the ball. And we start with that. We just run the play. How about let's use some tempo here? But I don't know. I just found it interesting. And, boy, does 4 weeks make a difference? 4 weeks ago, you guys had Bill fired.
Yep, pretty close.
Yeah. You know, I mean, never mind.
And I had it on the table.
Never mind. We were discussing it. Never mind, you know, now being able to, you know, worth being the highest paid coach in pro sports. Boy, the 4 weeks have sure helped him. And make no mistake, he's feeling it. He's feeling it. And, you know, wear your galoshes tonight. Your poncho
slicker,
because it is going to get wet. If that's a blowout in the second half, it is going to get moist and thick with Belichick Patriots love.
I'll tell you, not to like go down a different road. I'm one of the few people that does not think this game is a slam dunk.
Okay, let's pick that up with phone calls right after these words. Don't go anywhere.
Boston's home for sports.
Hello, friends.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rex always says that this guy is not Tom Brady, right? This guy isn't the GOAT, but he's for sure what Tom Brady was at this age and probably better. And when you can do that on a team that understands how to win this way, this is the exact play that they needed in order to progress and succeed.
Tom Brady didn't play as a rookie. His second year, they won the Super Bowl. He had 18 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and threw for 2,800 yards. So Mac Jones is going to easily eclipse all of those. Finish it up, Rex.
Bill Belichick, this is his best job he's ever done coaching.
Wow.
That's Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan's doing that on Monday morning. What's Troy Aikman and Jay Glazer and the crew going to do tonight on Thursday night?
Well, you know, Buck, I've never seen a coaching job like this with a rookie quarterback, maybe since when I came into the league with Jimmy Johnson. I'll tell you, it's just going to be all that. And boy, and I'll say this, Troy, if you're the Buffalo Bills, you probably didn't think you were going to having to be worried about the Patriots for a few seasons. But how about that? Just after 1 year, rubble. It's just going to be nonstop because this game will be a blowout. Sorry, Maz, I disagree. I don't think this is going to be much of a challenge for the Patriots tonight. Atlanta has no talent in terms of weapons for Matt Ryan without Cordarrelle Patterson, who's a game time decision, and no Calvin Ridley. They stink. It's going to be blowout city that whole second half. Oh, well, what a coaching job. I've never seen anything like this. Like, it's just going to be ridiculous.
Excellent. You do a pretty good Troy Aikman.
Yeah, I'm not telling you you're wrong, Murray. Look, again, I can't predict to you what's going to happen. And honestly, it has nothing to do with the Patriots. I look at NFL home dog Thursday night. To me, it's that simple. I think people make the mistake oftentimes in gambling of looking at the particular teams and not looking at the trends.
The spot.
Right. That's all. It's about, you know, human trends. It's about human behavior. So I would tell you the same thing of any team that's a home dog plus 6.5. But the butt licking that will take place if the Patriots, you know, turn this into a one-sided game, which they might, oh, it'll be ridiculous. He'll be like a human lollipop, for crying out loud. They'll be licking him up and down.
Okay, your thoughts, 617-779-0985. Okay, we got Joe and Melrose. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Felger, I don't think you've ever been more wrong about Belichick. I mean, this take that you just had, if he got fired, like, even, like, in week 4 or 5 or something, the Cowboys, the Redskins, like, almost, like, 20 teams in the league would be vying for him. And the Cowboys, you know, he'd fire his whole front office to give Belichick, probably give him $25 million. The Redskins would immediately hire him. I mean, I think San Francisco would fire Kyle Shanahan and give him the job.
I don't agree with you.
I can't think of... there's only about maybe 10 teams that wouldn't fire their front office for him.
I just disagree with you, man. I do. He's going on 70. What is he going to practically give you in terms of length? And do you commit that and blow up your entire building just in 3 years to have to rehire a whole new staff, even if you succeed?
Does this guy remember that Tom Brady got to the market 2 years ago and there were very few suitors out there?
Exactly. That's part of me learning my lesson there. I thought everyone would be all over Brady. But you know what? They looked at him and they said he's 40 freaking 3 years old.
And you don't think the rest of the league has since learned their lesson?
No.
Whoops.
Nope. I bet if he were available again, the same thing would happen because...
They play odds, Murray.
Yeah, and they look at the actuarial tables.
Absolutely.
And, you know, all of this.
Say, nerds, go home. If I'm a loser franchise that needs instant buzz, if I'm Stephen Ross in Miami, if I'm Mark Davis, the idiot in D.C., whatever you want, name your price, do what you want. Here's the keys. You've now made my franchise immediately relevant just because of what you've done. Even if he's washed up. You think like fans that are just starved for winning? Holy crap. They wouldn't be holy crap. They just got Bill Belichick. I'm in.
So I think there might be a team, like Brady got a team or two, you know. So Bill.
It wouldn't be the whole league, but like four or five teams.
You'd find a few. I'll go back to the same thing I said last segment, which was you'd have to have a roster that's ready to win that just needs someone to steer the boat. Like, and then Bill can rename his boat on top of it. Like, to me, that's what it would be. It'd be a Dallas, a Green Bay, like someone who's built to win now.
Jackson in the car. Go ahead, Jackson.
Hey, I just think it's sorry that the shtick dictates that you can't enjoy this greatness down in Foxborough. But now we have to say that the coverage by the media is coordinated. So I was just curious what drives that accusation.
Because I think Bill cares what's being said about him, and he helps sometimes shape the narrative about himself.
Okay. I mean, so that's just a theory. It's not that this is a great sports story and that objectively, if you're looking at it for the national...
Well, it's beyond just a theory. I mean, I've sort of lived it, so I do have some working practical knowledge, just to be frank about it. So I know how the sausage is made sometimes. So there's that. And I do enjoy the team. The team is enjoyable.
And it is a good story.
It's you that's not so enjoyable. But I've been over that a million times.
Oh, the Patriots are a great story. I mean, it's absolutely fabulous. Like, this turnaround is tremendous. I don't know how you don't like it. And again, with the young quarterback, the whole nine yards. There's a fabulous thing to like there. I find it amusing that a guy like that gets offended.
We are easily offended. This is the deal, Patriots fans. Chris and Everett, go ahead, Chris.
So I'll be honest. I am Team Tom. Also, Tom was right, and we were right on the right side of history. But when it comes to Belichick, I think one of the things that you got to remember, too, is you're not just paying for him to come in, which would be, like you're saying, $25 million. You're paying for him to then have to buy a roster, because we saw what happened last year. He had to buy a roster this year. And also, the other thing is, with the whole commentary about him working with Dallas or Green Bay, I don't think Green Bay would pay for him. And with Dallas, is Jerry Jones willing to give up the ego for Bill Belichick?
I don't think so. It's a good point. I don't think Jerry Jones would do that, where someone's going to come in and be bigger than Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones is not going to pay anyone more than he pays himself. So if Bill's making 25, Jerry's making 26, and more than that. But I mean, whatever. Like, it's Jerry did this one. He hired a real coach once. And it's when he needed a stadium. And he admitted it in one of those drunken videos that was taken of him at a bar. He admitted it. Do you remember this? You ever see this?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
it's out there. I don't know if you Google it, if it's been scrubbed. It's still there. He's sitting there at a bar talking to some fans, and they're asking him about Parcells. And he said something like, I just did that to get my stadium. And that's the only reason he hired Parcells. Other than that, it's Dave Campo, Jason Garrett, Wade Phillips, Mike McCarthy. It's some retread or subordinate guy. No. And oh, by the way, Jerry, sneaky cheap. You can't tear up a coach's contract. You actually have to pay it. I don't think the market would be there like you do.
I mean, to me, it's got as much to do with the roster. And look, the part about Jones's ego is legit. But if you're Jacksonville, like, that's like a 3 to 5 year process, right? Like, okay, so fine, go Urban Meyer, whatever. I'm not sure Bill wants that job anyway.
I'm right. Is that a fit? Does he make sense from a true ground up situation?
No. It's just because there's not enough time there. Bill Belichick's the kind of guy where you say, I hire him. He's here for 10 years. We're going to win a couple of titles. This thing's going to work. At his age, like, look, I hate to say it, I'm going to sound like an ageist, but I think when you get to his age, your options start to dry up.
I think it's practical. You shouldn't be canceled for that. It's a practical matter. How long can you expect him? I mean, if you have a big rebuild or you want a big, long-term program, how do you hire someone who's 70?
Mike, again, people didn't line up to sign Brady.
Miles in Texas. Go ahead, Miles.
Hey, I just don't know how you guys put up with all of these insufferable Patriots fans needing to compare Mac Jones to Tom Brady. I mean, like, we finally have some games that are actually interesting to watch, and I don't know why that's not enough. Well, last year was terrible, and now it's, a good story. The games are interesting. We might have something going, but the need to just compare it to Tom Brady and the last 20 years is just ridiculous.
God bless you. Could not put it better myself. And you ask, how do we put up with it? Not well in a lot of cases. We lash out and ream out callers, or I get on Zoe, or like, what? Yeah, we're not handling it well. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard putting up with Patriots fans. Absolutely.
I believe in every now and then you need a good dose of humility, and it wouldn't kill me if tonight was the night.
Okay.
But I will tell you that having said that, I want to see them go on a run. I want to see them make this thing interesting, and right now they're doing it.
We're mostly Patriots today, leading you up to Patriots pregame coming your way at 5:30. Not much of a fraud shift for here. We were hoping a 5 o'clock pregame start. I mean, heck, they kicked the thing at like 8:10.
Oh, no. I'm shutting it down mentally at 4 o'clock.
All right. We got you up until 5:30, mostly Patriots, Falcons, and all the Patriots items, but we do want to mix in a few other things, including the Celtics last night. Nice team you got there, Stu. Here's an update first from Big Jim Murray, and then we're...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the Celtics fight to the finish, but that league-leading defense in the last 2 weeks was not apparent tonight. They put all their effort into shutting down Trae Young, who did not make a three in this game, but John Collins and Kevin Huerter combined to go 16 of 22 and 6 of 8 from 3 as the Celtics again fail to go over 500. Beaten by the Hawks in Atlanta tonight, 110-99.
All right, Celts lose again last night, once again under 500. Maz, Murray, your thoughts?
Go ahead, Murray.
That game was it was a chore to watch. It was gross.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know that Tatum had a good game, but yay, Tatum himself had a good game. But outside of that, I think watching that game in particular and how they shot and kept shooting and kept shooting, the Celtics so desperately want to be the Warriors, but they keep trying to be the Warriors without having Warriors level shooters, which is like the NBA definition of insanity. I hate watching it. It's a joy to watch when you watch the Warriors and Curry and guys that can actually shoot the ball and shoot the three from like half court. Them? The hell out of my face with that. It's great. And their defense, the defense is back, guys. The defense, you see all the articles this week, the defense. Well, the Celtics found out the defense. The defense is good. Without Robert Williams, poof, guess what? Your defense blows. This is where it really feels like work. We're charmed. We live charmed lives. This is a hell of a gig. Watching this team right now is like, oh, geez, this is like the coal mine, like for us right now, having to watch the Celtics night in, night out.
So we had this discussion at the beginning of the year on some level with the Patriots. How long has it been now that we've waited for the Celtics to sort of put it together? How long has it been?
Yeah, since the bubble.
Okay, so again, right? If you remember, in the bubble, Adam Jones, of all people, Adam Jones predicted they were going to win the championship.
A lot of people,
because they were playing well. Right? They were up, what, 3-1? 3-1 on Toronto.
I felt the same way.
Okay, so they were up 3-1 on Toronto since that point.
I think it was 2-0, and then that kid hit the shot with 0.5 seconds. But who was it?
Anunoby.
Anunoby. They were up to, so it was 2-1, maybe 3-1. You're right. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, so since that point, okay, 3-1, they've played 98 games. They're 47-51. Okay, that's in the bubble. Out of the bubble, home, away, with Jaylen Brown, without Jaylen Brown, with Kemba Walker, without Kemba Walker, Al Horford. In other words, a million variables have changed, except the outcomes. They have played like a 500 team, for below 500, for going on 100 games now. 100 games. What am I supposed to believe? Like, I can't look at them and get inspired. How am I supposed to get inspired, whether they're playing defense or not, when they're never the same team on consecutive nights for more than 3 days? It's the same crap over and over again. So, fine, Jason Tatum played great last night. The secondary scoring wasn't there. The other players didn't make their shots. So they won without Tatum last week. I thought maybe the offense runs better without Brown. Now I think they need Brown back. So there's nothing consistent. Nothing. As you've said, the only thing that is consistent, or Murray said, is their inconsistency, which means it's who they are. This is who they are. How am I supposed to get excited about that?
And that Hawks team, too, it pains me to say, like, has their number. And outside of Trae Young, who had a suck night, by the way, like, they just have, like, a lot of goodish players. Like, they, outside, of, there's no, like, top-tier talent, I feel like, on that team outside of Trae Young, but they're deeper than the Celtics.
So, what do you think the issue is, Mazz?
I mean, I think ultimately everything in that league goes back to your star player. And that if your star player is a true alpha who drives, motivates, and demands excellence of other players on the roster, that you get better as a group and you play to your ceiling. So Tatum's not there. I don't know if he'll ever be there. Maybe he will. I'm willing to allow for the fact that he's younger and it might take time. But clearly they need Brown too, because they don't have enough talent on the roster without Brown there. I think, you know, as much as I like some of the pieces they've added, a bunch of these guys are still just guys. But at the end of the day in that league, it starts with your best player. And so I always start there.
Has the coaching gotten better or worse?
I would say,
meh.
I would say in-game coaching has gotten worse. Worse.
So where do you see out-of-game coaching getting better?
Because I think that he's getting more effort than Stevens did on the defensive end of the floor. And so they're trying more there. And Tatum certainly is playing better defense than he ever has. And I would say overall as a team, you know, Robert Williams is, when he's out there, is relatively engaged. The roster's better too, but I feel like on the defensive end, they've been more engaged. And so I think Udoka has tapped into that. But tactically on the offensive end, I really don't know what the hell they are.
And I say they've gotten, sorry, but yeah. I thought that they got better because of defensive buy-in over this last stretch
here. Right.
But without Robert Williams, I don't know, you watched last night and it's like, oh, maybe he's the linchpin to it all. Because it feels like that to me.
What do you think, Stu?
I think defensively they've played better because they've simplified their defense. They don't switch as much as they did. I think that they're putting in too much effort defensively, and it's hurting them on the offensive side of the basketball because they're missing shots, and that's, they should be making more shots, but they seem tired. I wonder if there's a conditioning factor here. You know, if you go out a lot partying, you know, maybe that kind of wears on you a little bit.
Interesting.
What are you hearing?
Or you don't have the maturity to be able to do it all at the same time.
So right? That too.
You can't play both ends on any given night because you're too focused on one and not the other.
So,
to Maz's point on Tatum, yeah. Tatum's favorite players historically are Paul George and Allen Iverson. Those are players who never really peaked out and hit their maximum potential. Like Paul George is an excellent player, but he hasn't gotten out of the conference finals. So like that could be, instead of using Carmelo Anthony as a Jason Tatum comp, maybe it's Paul George, and that's still not enough.
Okay, so I have a developing opinion. I mean, you got to tell me whose fault this is, but it has stood out.
Everybody's.
And that is how suddenly they have no one off the bench that does anything. And I think that even though their bench was weak last year, Maz, and there's been varying times where their depth was either really good or really bad, but in the Brad Stevens era, there were always sort of scrubby players who got good minutes and produced to the point where people would call us up and say, Peyton Pritchard is John Stockton,
mm-hmm.
or I really like this Brad Wanamaker guy, or don't sleep on Daniel Tice, or hey, even Ojale, and like Jabari Parker last year. Like there was always guys down the bench that would play, maybe play too much, but would produce and would pop to a degree that fans would actually think they could play, and it actually kind of got annoying, okay? But we know that happened,
right?
Like whether it was the Bridgie era or more into the era where they had Tatum and Brown and big stars, there were always guys off the bench that it seemed like overperformed to the point where fans got annoying about them. But now, nothing. You know, last night you got points from one bench player?
Was it Richardson?
Richardson, that's it. He is the only bench player that got you points, and he got you 11. But other than that, Langford, 0. Cantor, 0. Neesmith, 0. Poor Peyton Pritchard. And some of these guys played a minute and a half, so they emptied the bench at the end of the game.
27th in the NBA in bench scoring, the Celtics are.
The only guy that got minutes, the only guys that got minutes were Neesmith, Cantor, and that's because Rob Williams was out, obviously, Langford, okay? But those guys, zeros. And, you know, Cantor could have scored. Did you see him?
Yes.
Right at the rim?
Yes.
Like, how do you?
It was pathetic. It was pathetic.
How are you 7 feet tall? And you're right here, and there's the rim. You just drop it in. Dunk it! I don't know. Drop it in the basket? Did you see him miss two right there at
yes.
the rim?
Yes.
How is that possible?
And the second one was bad.
How is that possible? I'm amazed when these 6'10", 7 feet guys are right there, and it happens. It has like, if you put me on an 8 foot rim, Murray, I am freaking Moses Malone. I am unstoppable on an 8 foot rim. But sorry, that's an aside. The thing of bench players and guys sort of popping is, it's like over. They get nothing from Langford. They get nothing from Nesmith. They get nothing. Where's this team's version of Semi Ojeleye or Brad Wanamaker or Daniel Tice or Peyton Pritchard or Aaron Baines or even like going back to Rozier? Like there was always, never mind the Bridgie era, which were all these kind of guys, but even when they had Kyrie Irving or Town, there were always guys down that bench that got minutes and gave you something and probably helped you through the regular season. And helped, you know, give Brad Stevens a good regular season record. And it all sort of, I'm not telling you these guys win you championships or it matters in the playoffs. But at this time of year, especially with Jaylen Brown out, you're not going to have other. So, like, has this all the way goes back to Udoka. He's not developing these guys.
I mean, no. Yeah, go ahead. No, I mean, I agree with you. In that, what is their set rotation? And this is another element in this thing that really has started to bug me. Why are they never at full strength? Last night it was Brown and Williams who were out. Then they'll come back and someone, Horford, will get hurt.
Well, this is the whole league.
Speaking to what Jimmy's saying, okay, but they're out too much.
Yeah, but they're not good enough to be able to do it this way. You want to tell me that you have LeBron James on your roster and you're going to give LeBron James some nights off or Kawhi Leonard or even Kevin Durant because those guys can win on the road in the playoffs and they'll be the most dominant players on the floor? Fine. You're not good enough to do it that way.
Well, I don't think they're injured.
No, I don't know why this happens. Whether it's I'm asking, why are they always undermanned? Why are they always undermanned?
So I think the whole league is like that.
Oh yeah. God, it's so annoying. They're never at 100%.
No one is. I look at any NBA game, and there's a star or two that is out for something. It's gotten ridiculous. I don't know if that's it's definitely not strictly a Celtics problem. Definitely not.
But it's hard to build a rotation when you're missing two of your better players every night.
I'm sorry. If Brad Stevens were still here, I hate to play this game. You know, you would not be getting zeros across the board from Langford, Nesmith, all these Pritchard.
2 minutes for Pritchard last night? That's stupid.
I mean, go ahead.
All these draft picks. All these failed first-round draft picks of Danny Ainge that maybe we're seeing that aren't really that good.
Well, how would you know? You know, they rarely play. They never shoot. And it's like maybe Stevens took it too far, and we saw too many of those guys. But it's like all this.
So, Mike, maybe they're not practicing well, and that's why they're not getting game time minutes.
Yeah, but the point is, look, at the end of the day, I'm with you on this. You got to play these guys. You got to play them, whether it's for the short term or the long. And the problem is Udoka's a new coach, so he doesn't want to get too far underwater, so he feels the pressure to win, so he's leaning on his frontline guys, and he's taking minutes away from Pritchard, from Nesmith, from Langford, from whoever else they picked up during the offseason.
Okay, well, there you go. There's your Celtics minute.
Hated it.
Okay, I don't even need to ask your calls right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
To learn more.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
No, I don't feel we found our offense tonight. So, like I said, it's going to be tough. It's going to put a tremendous amount of stress and pressure on your defense to play perfect when you don't make shots. And sometimes that's what the game comes down to. Several wide open looks, you know, shooting 11 for 42 from three. Like I said, it puts stress on your defense to be perfect when you're not making those shots. And I felt, you know, we're doing what we've done all year is penetrate, kick, get guys wide open looks, and we're not knocking them down. So, not going to hold people in the 90s every night, but we got to score more than 99 ourselves.
So if that's how they're going to play, a million three-pointers, drive and kick, that's it. Do they need to change the makeup of the team? They don't have enough shooters. B-Rob's headline, Celtics shooting woes may force Brad Stevens to take action to address roster flaw.
Yep.
I mean, they want to play like the Warriors, but they're not the Warriors. B-Rob writes, the Celtics, Mass Live. B-Rob writes for Mass Live. Now, the Celtics are on pace to take more three-point shots than any team in franchise history. and through 15 games this season, that is not a recipe for success. The Celts have knocked down just 32% of those attempts on the year, which ranks 27th in the NBA. So they've never taken more threes, and they rank in the bottom four in the league in doing so. That does make it a tough watch, Murray, I would say.
Oh, God. There's nothing worse. Not just chucking up three after three, and it's brick after brick.
I mean, they miss a lot.
Not a good combination. Last night was 11 of 41. Like, that's a tough watch.
Oh, that blows.
Just keep shooting, guys.
Yeah. Fire away. I can do that. I'm not joking.
All right, back to your phones. Here's Chris and Clinton waiting on the Celts. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Quick point on Tatum, but first, I'm glad you brought up Langford and the coaching, because the coaching has definitely gotten worse. I mean, you know, Udoka's out there all the time talking about what he's preaching to the players and telling the players. It's not working. I mean, they're not listening to you. And Langford, you're getting nothing out of this guy. He's averaging over 19 minutes a game, and he's scoring less than 5 points a game. They just had that road trip, and on the five games of that road trip, he was averaging like 18 minutes a game and scored 2 points a game. So I'm so sick of him. But the biggest problem with this team is Jason Tatum. He's so disinterested. He doesn't look at all engaged. There was a moment at the beginning of the second half where Smart threw a lazy pass, and it got tipped and stolen by Cam Reddish at half court. And Tatum's just a half a step behind him, and he puts his head down and jogs like he's, you know, trotting off the golf course instead of chasing him down for a block. Like, you just get no energy from this guy. He doesn't play hard. He doesn't take it to the basket. He settles for layups instead of throwing it down and securing the ball. If he has an open shot and an open lane to the basket, he's shooting the shot every single time, and I'm so sick of watching him. Trade him and get him out of here.
Okay, strong, and it's hard to blame your best player. But as Maz says, generally teams in that league take on the tone set by their best player.
So look,
I get the feeling half the time Tatum doesn't give a crap.
No, so look, again, this is a hard analogy to make for lots of reasons, because Milwaukee right now is 7-8, okay? It's not like Milwaukee's, but did you hear Giannis after the game last night?
I actually did.
Okay, so Giannis had what, 47?
47.
Okay, 47 last night, and his commentary after the game was, we have to guard against complacency. And if you heard him speak, there's conviction in his voice. It's, we got to fight this. You got to come to play every night. And so I don't hear that same kind of thing coming from Tatum. I don't want to hear it from Al Horford. I want to hear it from Tatum, and I want him to mean it.
Aaron Nesmith, wasn't he thought to be a sharpshooter?
Sniper.
Three-point specialist.
Sniper.
Right? Like, yep. That was his whole deal.
Yep.
And he could hustle and play D.
Yep.
But it was the shooting that got him drafted, right?
Best Correct. Shooter in the draft was the hype around him.
Okay, best shooter in the draft. He averages two three-point attempts a game. Two. Well, so, you know, this is the way you want to play. You want to drive and kick. And you need guys who can shoot. So, you know, we're talking about Brad Stevens going out and getting shooters to fill the way you're playing. Well, Ainge drafted a guy specifically for this reason. He's now in what, his second year? And he averages, oh, God, I can't stand these freaking charts.
Oh, it's got to be under 10 minutes a night.
I wish I could give you his minutes, but my head's spinning in the back of my head.
It's got to be under 10 minutes a night.
9.7 minutes per game. He's averaging 9 minutes a game and 2 3-pointers a game. So it's like, maybe you have something there, but how would you know?
Right. And so look, here's the other thing that this one is one that I find particularly aggravating and mystifying. His final 15 games last year, he shot 46%. From three-point land, 46%. Then he had a good summer league. Okay, then he came in and, like, it looked like he had a good preseason. Now he's just falling off the map. So, like, what the hell happened there?
So this,
and I will say, he hasn't looked great when he's been in there.
I look at Udoka on this one. I do. It's like, you don't play him, you don't feature him, you know, and I'm just, like, feature him, like, you know, at the centerpiece of your game plan, but I don't know, give them the minutes or instruct your players or whatever that, and look, if there were other younger players or bench players thriving, then I'd blame Nesmith and say, well, where are you? No one. They get nothing from anyone. Langford and Nesmith were big in that Miami win.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, right?
I was like, they were both good in that game.
And I thought, okay, there you see, Udoka. You play these kids, you can get a little jolt from them, a little bolt of energy from them, and they can play. They can put the ball in the basket. You should expand your rotation a little bit. And so you get, you know, and after that, well, I don't think they've done a single thing. So, like, there's not a single guy. The only guy off the bench that does anything is freaking Richardson.
You're right.
Who's up? How old is he? So it's like, I'm sorry. I think this is a coaching thing.
Yeah, it might be. Again, the Neesmith one mystifies me because at the end of last season, he was turning a corner. He was playing almost 20 minutes a night. He was shooting over 45% from three and 92% from the line.
And how horny have they been internally for, it's Langford, right? Like when Tyler Hero went off on you in the bubble and you lost that East Finals in the bubble, didn't Danny Ainge come out and say, well, Langford was hurt, man. We had a guy to match it, but he was hurt. Like they've been all horned up for Romeo Langford for 3 years now. What does he do? Is he ever out there? Is he ever shooting? What I mean?
Well, the Miami game again.
Yes, he was there for sure.
You get these little glimpses, and with him, it's more defense than offense. But even so, like I would say, they're not out there enough. And the other thing is, I don't love the way they have it set up in terms of. You know, again, they're undermanned all the time, but I don't love the way they have it where Smart and Schroeder are on the floor at the same time. Somebody's got to come off the bench.
Okay, we're doing some Celtics pitching, and I think that's warranted. But mostly Patriots, Falcons, I promise, to your phones after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.